a matter of great honor and pleasure to be present at this purificatory ceremony of the marriage of these two devoted souls, Rasha Chaitanya Prabhu and Mother Archana. And it's inspiring to know that our Supreme Father, Lord Sri Krishna, reveals himself in and through relationships. The more pure and selfless, humble and devoted those relationships are, the more those relationships reveal to us our original loving relationship with Krishna. And that's why marriage is one of the sacred purificatory rites of Vedic civilization. Srila Prabhupada said at one point that everyone must get married. At least all Matajis must get married. Because human life is meant for becoming free of the contamination of false ego, which basically means selfishness. Very few souls can live without relationships and still stay sane and still make progress in spiritual life. Because in relationships, we're confronted with ourselves. And because we can't see ourselves, you can see a crude reflection of your physical form by looking in a mirror. But that image is not dynamic. It will not reveal to you the deeper aspects of yourself. And it will not reveal to you the deeper aspects of your relationship with Krishna. But in relationship with devotees, which is all based on service, humble service, which means selfless service, and especially if that service is fortified by the taking of vows, meaning that this is not some whimsical matter that we can change at will, but is a commitment to the service of the Vaishnavas, the Guru, and Sri Krishna. Then, in the humility and vows of that relationship, we will learn more and more about ourselves. Today is a very sacred day in the history of Gaudiya Vaishnava culture, because this is the day that Srila Prabhupada chose to take sannyas, which may seem a little bit of the antithesis of a marriage ceremony. But if you look at it in terms of relationships, and of relationships, family is such a sacrament. Srila Prabhupada, upon receiving the order from his Guru Maharaj, "You are learned young men, why don't you dedicate your lives to spreading the gospel of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Western world?" And when his friend Naren asked Srila Prabhupada, "What do you think of this sadhu?" he said, "The message of Lord Gauranga is in very good hands." And Srila Prabhupada said, "It will be fulfilled." He didn't say he would fulfill it. He had faith that the order issued by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati would be fulfilled. And Srila Prabhupada said, I accepted him, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, as my guru at that time, not formally, but in my heart. And he was thinking that he had just recently entered family life. How would he preach in the Western world? He had the duties of financial obligation and relationships within family context. And if you look at his life, how perfectly he fulfilled them. But later on, when his family was not cooperative to his endeavors to propagate Krishna consciousness, and then one night, he had a startling dream which shocked him the first time. That long after the departure of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati from this world, that same saintly soul, dressed still in saffron cloth, coming directly from the entourage of Lord Sri Krishna, was beckoning him, motioning, come, and conveying to him, take sannyas. Srila Prabhupada said he was just shocked. The dream recurred many times. And then, looking at his own life, in the context of what he had heard his spiritual master explain previously, in commenting on the verse, Yasyaham anigrinami hadishe tadram shanai, Srila Prabhupada came to understand that Krishna was calling him to commit his life to a larger family. And in his life of preparation, and then the years that followed his taking of sannyas, we see the most perfect example in the life of Srila Prabhupada of more and more selfless service to a larger and more extended family of Vaishnavas. And Srila Prabhupada took sannyas on the day that Vishwarup, Mahaprabhu's elder brother, did the same. Because Navadvip Dham, at the time of Lord Chaitanya's Leela, was a very materialistic place. And people were just infatuated with marriages. They just lived to perform marriages. And they would squander vast, immense wealth on marriages. And after their sons and daughters were married, they would marry dolls, or dogs, or cats, out of just an infatuation with a perverted concept of what marriage means. So Vishwarup, Lord Gauranga's elder brother, was just disgusted at the degradation of the culture at that time. So he would rise very early in the morning, take his bath in the Ganges, and go straight to the house of Advaitacharya, where they would immerse themselves in talks and thoughts and songs of devotional service to Lord Sri Krishna. And they would be so immersed that no one would think of going home. And Mother Sachi, having cooked lunch for her family, had to send her little infant son, Nimai, who at the time was like 1 year old. And he would come into Advaita's house and the assembly of Vaishnavas, and their talks and songs of Krishna Bhakti would be silenced when everyone looked at the most charming, loving movements and features of this infant child, who would come to Vishwarup, take him by the chadar, and pull him literally, physically out of that assembly, telling him, Mother is calling. And then at home, Vishwarup, he would just take prasad And all his time was spent in the temple of Lord Vishnu. And Jagannath Mishra was observing his son's activities and thinking that he needs to be married. He was thinking he was too self-centered, because relationships is meant to extricate us from our self-centeredness and concern our thoughts more with the welfare of others. So Jagannath Mishra was thinking, my elder son is very eccentric. He doesn't interact socially. He should be married. So when Jagannath Mishra was looking and contemplating like this, Vishwaroop looked at him and he understood what he was thinking. And early the next morning, Vishwaroop swam across the Ganges and, assuming the name Shankararanya Swami, left that limited family for the sake of the larger family. And it's very interesting that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri gathered the devotees together, Lord Nityananda, Mukunda, Jagarananda Pandit, Damodar Pandit, and others, and asked them for their blessings. For he wanted to go into South India to search out his long-lost brother. And they tried to dissuade him in so many ways. And they insisted he take an assistant. But he said, no, this Lord Nityananda, you know, he broke my danda and caused so many problems. And then Mukunda gets unhappy. And then this Jagadananda Pandit, he just wants me to enjoy sense gratification. If I don't, then Mukunda gets more disturbed. And Damodar Pandit, he's always holding a stick. Even though he's a brahmachari, he's holding a stick to chastise me, so I should go alone. He finally settled that he'd take Krishna Das. So that was his pretext for going south to deliver all the living entities there. But it wasn't just a pretext. Lord Chaitanya felt for his family members. And the love of their relationships actually deepened and intensified in the separation. And when Mahaprabhu came to Pandharpur, where he initiated that great Saint Tukaram, and then two Brahmins were so enchanted by his devotional ecstasies, they invited him to their home for lunch. And after lunch, when they were discussing Krishna Katha, Mahaprabhu learned from these Brahmins that Sri Rangapuri is in town, who is a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, on par with Mahaprabhu's own Guru Maharaj. So he went immediately to offer his dandavats. And then, engaging in Krishna Katha with Sri Rangapuri, Rangapuri was feeling some kind of vatsalya affection for the Lord, who is in a role like disciple to him, being disciple of his godbrother Ishwarapuri. And then Sri Rangapuri asked in great affection, where is your home? From what village do you hail? He asked Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I hail from Navadvip. And Rangapuri was enlivened to hear that. I went to Navadvip with my Guru Maharaj, Sri Madhavendra Puri. I remember that pilgrimage very clearly because of something that transpired there. We took lunch at the house of this saintly Brahmin whose name was Jagannath Mishra. And his wife was so chaste and so devoted that she considered the sannyasis to be her sons. And I remember to this day the taste of one curry she made from banana flowers. I remember to this day. And they had a son who was so saintly and so pure, he took sannyas at the age of 18. And after visiting all the pilgrimage places, he came right here to Pandharpur. And from here he ascended to the spiritual sky. And Mahaprabhu is just very humbly, silently listening to this narration. And then he added something to the story. He said, that Jagannath Mishra was my father. And that Shankararanya was my brother. And my purpose for coming to the south was to seek news of my long lost brother. So, the day that Sri Vishwarup, who is Sankarshan, took sannyas to extend his family conception to the larger realm of Bharatvarsha, India, was the day that our Srila Prabhupada took sannyas in response to his Gurudev beckoning. And the rest is history. Begging a ticket aboard the Jaladuta, Srila Prabhupada came to the West. And in London, Srila Prabhupada made a very interesting comment. He was so pleased by the services offered his six pioneer disciples, who were all newly married grihasthas, amongst whom our Malati Prabhu was present in that preaching endeavor in London. And Srila Prabhupada, when one devotee asked about Srila Prabhupada being spiritual master, he said, spiritual master is like that term is like a formality. Really, I'm your spiritual father, your eternal father. And he thought about it and said, no, actually, these devotees are my parents, and I'm like their son. And he complimented them on having done what his sannyasi godbrothers could not achieve. When they were dispatched by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to go preach in Europe, and they got some pictures taken with royalty, and that's what they had to show when they came back to India. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was disappointed. But in Navadvip Dham, there's a very special temple in the sacred forest of champak trees named Champahat, where Jayadev Goswami used to reside. And when the first complete full nine-day parikrama party for Navadvip Parikrama came to this temple of Sri Sri Gaur and Gadadhar, and we found, to our amazement, that the Pajari there was a disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And with tears in his eyes, he was telling us that this is the first time since the passing of his Guru Maharaj that anyone has done the parikrama the way that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wanted. And he was so happy. And then he told the sannyasis, you stay in this room. It was his room. No, we're not going to stay in your room. He said, but I will stay in the kitchen. And then he moved out, right outside, to another building. He stayed in the kitchen. And he ordered us to stay in his own room. And then later he revealed that when he was preaching in Calcutta, sometimes their programs would end very late at night, and they would go to the home of Abhay Charan, who would vacate his room and sleep on the floor in the house and tell even the young brahmacharis, you take my room. And later, that Nayananda Babaji, who Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati on that parikrama decades earlier told him to stay there and take care of the deities. And later he told the devotees that when those disciples of Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati returned from London and other places in Europe with their pictures, with the royalty, Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati was a little disheartened that he had put the blood of the Gaudiya Math into these sannyasis to go spread the gospel of Mahaprabhu, but it was not successful. And then he said, when the parikrama party, which consisted of a large village of tents, was camped out in Champati for the last time under the personal lead of Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati, and those preachers had just come back from Europe and met with the parikrama party there at Champahat, and there was, you know, a big celebration that they'd returned, Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati explained that it was the vision of his father, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, that the holy name of the Lord and the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was spread to the Western world. And just before leaving this world, his mother, Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati's mother, Bhagavati Devi, told him from her deathbed that this was your father's desire, you must fulfill it. And then she, on the same day as her good husband, but years later, also joined him in Golok. And then Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati, looking upon the sannyasis who were seated before him, and then looking further back into the great vast crowd of Vaishnavas, said to all present, I have a prediction. And then this great soul, Nayananda Babaji, said he felt, or he saw Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati looking right in his direction, but just over his head. And he turned around to see whose eyes Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's were locked with. And when he turned around, he saw my old friend, Abhay Charan, who's behind me, their eyes locked. And then Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati said, I predict that very soon one of my disciples will go to the Western world and fulfill the vision of my father, the last instructions of my mother, and what I have dedicated my life to fulfilling. And Srila Prabhupada found that that was impossible, living with a family that was not participating in the preaching. So on this day he took sannyas to extend himself to the larger family of all mankind, and in glorification of that, Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati, in glorification of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati himself said, the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, who is the mother of everyone, has expanded herself into the gospel of love and hope, coming through Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and expanding itself throughout the whole world through the selfless sacrificial efforts of our eternal father, Srila Prabhupada. So we're very happy that these devoted souls, who are so happy to have as inmates in New Vrindavan, are taking vows of commitment to each other to serve as servant of the servant. marriage is meant to be a sacrament. It's meant to be a samskara, an act of purification. Because we can only come to know Krishna. We can only develop a relationship with Krishna through relationship with devotees. We can only come to love Krishna by loving and serving the devotees. There's many lessons we all need to learn. In the first half of the 20th century, the role that men assumed was appropriate was the aggressive, combative stereotype, which did not survive into the second half of the 20th century because it distances man from his own family. His over preoccupation with role as provider and protector distances him from the relationships that a family needs to grow and develop. And since then, men have struggled to find their actual identity. Men struggle with identity. They identify with occupation as provider and protector. But they really struggle with what it means to be a man. Women don't struggle like that with what it means to be a woman. They speak very freely about it. So men need to learn from Matajis about relationships, about feelings, about nurturing, because men tend to bottle up these things. It's not considered, or it used to not be considered, manlike to reveal your feelings and to share them. But if you don't, then the stress and tension builds and can lead to all kinds of disorders. Men can learn from women about feelings, about our connection with nature, about what the body is trying to tell us in our relationship with our own body. And women can learn from men about the dangers of power and prestige. And they can avoid the horrors of addiction that come from not actually coming to feel and to know what relationships mean. Because only by relationships with devotees can we come to understand what takes great purification to know what is our service and our relationship with Lord Sri Krishna. So, it is a great pleasure to see these two Brijabasis with whom we've become so fond, taking vows of commitment to serve one another as servant of the servant and serve this great mission of Srila Prabhupada in establishing a place of pilgrimage in the Western world where everyone can come and take shelter of the Supreme Father and Mother, Lord Sri Krishna, Srimati Radharani, and our own ever well-wisher and eternal Father, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. May all present please bestow your blessings upon these new grihasthas, that their family life can bear fruit with more and more servants of the servants. Hare Krishna.
Now we perform Sankalpa on behalf of Shri Radha Vrindavan Chandra and Shri Prabhupada. The priest is performing.